afternoon. It's a real pleasure to be here today. I'm going to talk about New York City's Free Condom Initiative and the evaluation that we conducted 1 year after its initiation to see if we were getting anywhere with our condoms. Let me begin by giving you a little bit of background about why we distribute condoms in New York City. We have a big STD problem, including HIV, with over 100,000 people infected with HIV in the city of New York and approximately 3,800 new diagnoses in 2006. High-risk behaviors continue. Recent health-related telephone surveys have shown that one-third of people with three or more partners in the past 12 months did not use a condom the last time that they had sex. And we know that condom distribution does promote condom use. The objective of the Free Condom Initiative was to increase condom acquisition and use, and we did this by making condoms widely available and by soliciting the participation of any New York City-based organization who could distribute condoms not only to their clients within their organizations, but also through their outreach activities to their client base. We launched the New York City condom website, where any New York City-based organization could order condoms online any time of day or night and have them drop shipped at their location. At the same time, we also made calling for condoms available to these organizations through 311, which is a non-emergency call line for New York City agencies. The total cost of the Free Condom Initiative was $1.34 million for the course of 1 year, and this included condoms, the shipping of condoms, condom containers or bowls, the staff that were distributing the condoms within the Department of Health overhead, and then we had two contracts with community-based organizations to distribute condoms to small businesses. In the summer of 2006, we conducted an evaluation to see what was happening with the millions of condoms that we were distributing through the website. We wanted to know whether condoms were available in high-risk venues, whether they were visible to the patrons at those venues, and whether they were being acquired and used by those patrons. So to begin with the venues that we selected, we basically wanted to go to places where people who either had HIV or had high risk of acquiring HIV tended to congregate. So we looked at syringe exchange programs, methadone clinics, homeless shelters. We also looked at Department of Health funded organizations that conducted HIV related activities and gay bars. We selected these sites using administrative lists, and then for the gay bars, we looked at gay magazines and internet sites. For managers, we attempted manager interviews at each of the sites that we identified, and we interviewed the highest ranking staff member present at the time of our visit. For the sampling of patrons, we conducted a multi-stage sampling of venues for patron interviews. We selected venue types, so we went to each of the venue types, syringe exchange programs, methadone clinics, homeless shelters. We didn't go to the Department of Health funded sites because we weren't able to get enough of a patron sample at any one visit. We also tried to sample in each of the five boroughs and with an oversampling in the high prevalence areas. Managers had to grant permission for us to interview within their venues. We targeted 10 patron interviews per site. Patrons were systematically selected. They had to be 18 years of age or older, and they received a $15 gift card if they participated. Our biggest outcome was that we were massively able to increase condom distribution within New York. We went from 5.8 million condoms a year to 17.3 million condoms a year. And what you see is before the launch of the initiative, we were distributing approximately 250,000 condoms a month, and that shot right up to an average of 1.5 million for the course of the following year. We had over 877 independent organizations that ordered from our site, 60% of which were social and healthcare service organizations. We did have about a fifth of the organizations that ordered, which were small businesses, and this included clubs, party organizers, nail and hair salons, barbershops, liquor stores. And so we had a lot of participation from the non-traditional condom distributors. And then we had health department clinics, which included the STD clinics, TB clinics, and other health department sites. If you look at the venues targeted, we targeted 452 venues. If you look at the bottom, we got 90% participation by the managers in these venues. When we looked at the managers that reported condom availability, there was quite a difference depending by venue selected. And so, as one might expect, syringe exchange programs, methadone clinics, and health department funded sites had very high rates of managers reporting that they were making condoms available. However, in gay bars, only 40% of managers there reported making condoms available to their patrons. The following slides refer just to those venues where the managers reported making condoms available and where we interviewed patrons to see what they were seeing and doing. So if you look, we had 547 patrons that we interviewed within those 56 sites where the managers reported making condoms available. And the percent of patrons in these locations reporting condom availability varied quite significantly by site. In particular, we saw a lot of patrons reporting that condoms were available in syringe exchange programs and methadone clinics, but that went right down when we went to the gay bars, and it was pretty medium when we went to the homeless shelters. However, once the patrons saw the condoms, once they saw that they were available, there was a very high level of pickup, and overall we saw that 75% of patrons who saw condoms did acquire them, with the highest rate being in the syringe exchange programs. Similarly, when patrons reported acquiring condoms, they were very likely to use those condoms. Homeless shelter patrons were the least likely to use the condoms that they acquired. This might be an opportunity for sex issue, we're not really sure, but there was no difference amongst the other venues in terms of use once acquired. We had both program successes and program challenges. Providing condoms for free did lead to condom acquisition and use in the venues that we sampled from. The website was an effective and inexpensive tool for large-scale distribution. It was easy for the organizations to order, it was convenient, and the condom shipments were made in a timely manner. Little advertisement was needed. All we did was to send an email blast to these organizations, and there was a huge pickup in terms of demand. We did have program challenges, particularly amongst the gay bar managers, and we saw insufficient availability as well as visibility once the managers did report that they were making them available. To begin, we had not specifically targeted gay bars in our announcements, so many of them didn't even know that this free condom initiative was available. Secondly, condoms are not a priority for gay bar managers as they are for managers of social service and health service organizations. And our assumption that AIDS service organizations would distribute condoms in gay bars where their client base was often congregating was over-optimistic. We did not find that these service organizations supplied in sufficient quantities or regularly enough for there to be a maintained supply within these locations. And finally, even when managers did make condoms available, they were often not visible to patrons. And this was both a factor of inconsistent supply as well as in location of condoms, whether they were on the bar or behind the bar or hidden behind the coat room or what have you. Limitations within our study was that patrons at syringe exchange programs and methadone clinics were probably more primed to over-report condom availability and use because they had been so primed to harm reduction strategies. Participating managers may have been more likely to report condom distribution than those who did not participate, but given that we had a 90% response rate, we're not super worried about this. Also, we did not investigate partner type, whether the partner during the condom use episode was a primary or a casual or a paid partner, and this is a factor that we know influences condom use. The conclusion from our findings is that a website works very well for social and health service organizations, but that organizations that are not directly involved in social and healthcare services may need more direct advertising of the initiative and a lot of support in terms of maintaining the condom supply within their locations, and that visibility is crucial. Just getting the condoms to the locations is not sufficient when they need a lot of support in terms of placement of condoms. And so as a result of the condom evaluation, our program has evolved. On Valentine's Day of 2007, we launched the New York City Condom, which was really an effort to make condom use and condom availability something that was exciting both to New Yorkers in general, but as well to these organizations that weren't traditionally distributing. And so it became a sell tool for the gay bars, and we got 30 gay bars to participate in the launch of the New York City Condom last year. Also, Valentine's Day of this year, we launched this dispenser, and so this gray thing that you're seeing there is a designed condom dispenser that was really that was done by a very famous designer based out of San Francisco, Yves Béat, who worked with gay bars to look at what would make them appealing and allow them to put them up at the sites. And finally, we've initiated vending services for coffee shops, restaurants, and gay bars for them to not have to worry about stocking these dispensers themselves, but that we would do it for them. So that's it. Thank you very much.
So that's a very interesting area. I mean, here we have the intervention that we know works, and perhaps the only one we know that works in this context, that is the use of condoms. And what you've seen is an example of implementation science. There's a new journal called Implementation Science. If you go to Google and Google Implementation Science, you'll see it's an online journal where something like this could be published. And it employs operational research and monitoring and evaluation and the concept of continuous quality improvement, where you take the various steps where you saw problems and you decide one at a time where's the weakest link, and you try to correct that and you continue until you have improvement. That was a lot of condoms. Yes. You had a modest amount of money. Is the money still flowing? One of the problems in international settings is that you have the project officer who comes in, identifies with it, you get a program going, it's working well, and then USAID changes the person and they stop the program. So it's good you're continuing. Comments or questions? Yes. Well, there's an example. There's an example for a CQI opportunity to evaluate.
We often ended up interviewing the bar man or whatever, the bar staff, because the manager was often not available.
So I think we had another question right in front of you. Yes. Repeat the question.
Right, so the question was around STD rates during that time period. We have not looked at that yet, but we will.
Great, one more question from here. Yes.
Right, so the cost was increased just by a few cents, like 2 to 3 cents for the New York City condom. We have a very good deal with the condom manufacturer because of the size of our distribution.
Everything's more expensive in New York, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Tamara. That was really interesting.